This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Namai haere mai, kia ora tanakwe, Free FM 89.0, independent community media on a Sunday afternoon. Welcome to the afternoon with Mel Driscoll. Dwayne Porter's here, got Trevor later in the day, and guests. So, welcome to the day, a winter's day. Was it the longest day, yesterday or today? I think it was yesterday, the longest day. Reminds me of that song. But moving on, we've got lots to talk about this afternoon. Okay, column comment. The opinion is mine. Well, on December 23, 2023, Melville High School closed and ceased to exist. It closed on December 8th that year. Part of the email from Education Services, Melville Intermediate closed December 15, ceased to exist December 31. Source, some of those emails. But then Melville High, of course, in, you have to say that Melville is one of the most low economic places in the city. So you know why there has been lots of trouble in that area at the schools. We had a lockdown at Melville High, remember that one? But of course, Melville has a greater problem. Remember Beta, the shops, and reports of drive-by shootings. A child seen in the video as a gang member went past and shot up a rival. But back to Melville High. It's been combined with Melville Intermediate also closed into a new school. There is trouble in that school at the moment. The headmaster is gone and now they've got a limited person in there as looking after the school. The thing is, there's been numerous assaults in that school. The latest, a student drug shock outside Trouble School. Some person fed the student drugs. There's been other reports of assaults, kicking in the head, stomping on heads, and I've seen some of the videos. In Scotland, if a teen stomps on a person's head, they are arrested, they go to court, and sometimes they are jailed. Let's stop being namby-pamby. Hold my hand. Let's charge some of these students who decide to assault other students with attempted murder. What do you think? It is day 174191 to go, June 23, 2024. This day, 1973, the International Court of Justice supporting New Zealand's anti-nuclear campaign condemns French nuclear tests. She said, I've come on in, you're looking soaked to the skin. Get out of the wind and rain. She sat on a bed and smiled as she said, it's good to have you back again. This day, 1314, Edward II defeated by Robert the Bruce at the Battle of Bannockburn. Director Aaron Spelling, this day, 2006, Dynasty, and The Love Boat dies. In 1989, New Zealand canoeist Lisa Carrington was born. She's 33.
Once in a while, you're gonna find her
This day in 1911, the coronation of George V, Westminster Abbey. This day in 1894, the Duke of Windsor, the son of George V. The former Edward VIII was born. He died in 1972. This day in 2011, actor Peter Falk, Columbo, dies. On this day in 1976, June 23, 1976, 9 weeks at the top of the New Zealand charts, ABBA. And it wasn't Dancing Queen, it was another of their popular hits. It was called Fernando. Yes. Slip of the finger there. It's 12 to 1. Cosmopolitan News and Views.
Can you hear the drums, Fernando? I remember long ago.
For liberty, Fernando.
Free FM 89.0 independent community media. Doesn't that song swing along? ABBA's number one song in New Zealand this day. 9 weeks, Fernando. Well, June 9, 1921, 102 years ago, my old school, the Kaiapaki School, opens on its present site by the Minister of Education, C.J. Parr, who was born in Pukerimu, over the gully, Walker's Gully, that is. The mayor of Cambridge was also in attendance, Mr. S. Lewis. Parr married in Cambridge in 1938. He died in 1941. He was a member of Parliament. 1964, the students of Kaiapaki School constructed a ceramic mural. I was part of that back in 1964, representing life in Pukerimu and Kaiapaki, because in 1964, Cambridge celebrated 100 years, and I took part in the celebrations. I was actually on a float in period costume celebrating 100 years. I have to wonder if that mural is still on display at the Kaiapaki School today. I have sent an email to the school, and we'll check it out next week. Well, Maria Dallas, 1968, at the Founders Theatre on the bill, Shirley Bassey, Tex Morton, Bill and Boyd. Dallas, backed by the Hamilton band, The Satellites. She was born Marina Devich, discovered at the Waikato Talent Contest. The apprentice hairdresser was signed to Viking Records. She was given a name, Maria Dallas. She would record in Nashville. And, of course, she also had success in Queensland on the music scene in there, and won Singer of the Year 6 times. And you've seen the sad pictures of the walls tumbling down at the Founders Theatre this week, and a family just looking on. Very, very sad. I had to play this.
Got a troubled mind and I'm feeling sad. I've lost the only love that I ever had. Since he's gone and left this time, my love came tumbling down. Oh yes, a tumbling, tumbling down. Tumbling, tumbling. My love, my one and only, like autumn leaves falling on the ground, my love keeps tumbling down. Oh yes, a tumbling, tumbling down, tumbling, tumbling, tumbling down, tumbling, tumbling, tumbling down, my love keeps tumbling down. Now I'm left with memories, the happiest days that used to be. Now you're gone and homeward bound. My love came tumbling down. Oh yes, I tumbling, I tumbling, I tumbling down, tumbling, tumbling.
Maria Dallas and Tumbling Down, the walls came tumbling down as we watched the end of an icon in Hamilton, the Founders Theatre. 4 minutes to 1 o'clock. Talk about icons. We lost one of the great Canadian actors this week, father of Kiefer Sutherland of 24 and other productions. Yes, I'm talking about the one and the only interesting actor in his past, and he was in so many movies. Donald Sutherland, 1935-2024. He was in The Hunger Games. He was in Clute. He had an affair with Jane Fonda. He appeared in a few Fellini movies, and he was in MASH. Was he the original Hawkeye or was he Trapper John? I think it was the original Hawkeye in the 1970 movie before Alan Alda took up the role. And he was in another movie, Clint Eastwood, Telly Savalas, Carol O'Connor. This is the My Curb Congregation as we pay tribute to the late Donald Sutherland.
Flowers grow in an English country garden. I'll tell you now of some that I know, and those I miss you'll surely pardon. Daffodil hearts, season flocks, meadow sweet and lady smocks, gentian lupin and tall hollyhocks, roses, foxgloves, snowdrops, forget-me-nots in an English country garden.
In an English country garden.
How many insects come here and go through our English country garden? I'll tell you now of some that I know, and those I miss you'll surely pardon. Fireflies, moss and bees, spiders climbing in the trees, butterflies that sway on the cool gentle breeze. There are snakes, ants that sting, and creeping things in an English country garden.
In an English country garden.
How many songbirds fly to and fro through our English country garden? I'll tell you now of some that I know, and those I miss you'll surely pardon. Bobolink, cuckoo, and quail.
whale, Tangier and cardinal, bluebird lark, thrush and nightingale. There is joy in the spring when the birds begin to sing in an English country garden.
In an English country garden.
Robin,
Robin, Robin.
Don't forget the robin.
Don't forget the robin, Robin.
Robin,
Robin, Robin.
Don't forget the robin.
FM 89.0 independent community media. This is Cosmopolitan News and Views. English Country Garden. That is Jimmy Rogers, the My Curve congregation from Kelly's Heroes, as we remember the iconic Canadian actor, of course, the one and, oh, excuse me, just dumping things on the floor here. As I said, as we remember, as I go for the Herald again, yes, we're remembering that iconic actor in Donald Sutherland. Of course, people remember him in The Hunger Games, but he made a lot of movies and TV mini-series. And on Scotty's Place this week, just after 1 o'clock at Scotty's Place this week, we celebrated the life and times of Kenneth McKellar, the Scottish lyric tenor, who was born this week in 1927. And we remember him for this particular song, with one of the many, because he sang everything from Handel to Robert Burns. This is Scotland the Brave, one of Scotland's national anthems.
Hark, when the night is falling, hear, hear the pipes are calling, loudly and proudly calling down through the glen. There where the hills are sleeping, now feel the blood a-leaping, high as the spirits of the old Highland men. Tons of the friends to greet you, kind as the light that shines in fair maiden's eye.
FM 89.0, independent community media. Yes, that is Scotland the Brave. Welcome to the show this afternoon. Well, one of the notable deaths in New Zealand this week was former Green MP, the one and only Keith Locke, who was famous for walking down a certain street after taking a bet. And sadly, Keith Locke died this week at the age of 80. And we speak to a family member. Good afternoon, Marie Ledbetter.
Yes, good afternoon. Yes,
commiserations to your family.
I think, yes, thank you very much. Yes, we're devastated, of course. He was very, very much loved.
Yeah.
mean, people might know his public side, but his private side was wonderful too. He was
he had a wicked sense of humour.
A warm and compassionate person. He was my mentor and my guiding star in lots of ways. So, yeah, he's very much missed. But at the moment, we're focusing on giving him a fitting send-off.
Well, thank you for joining us on the programme. Myrie Leadbeater of Mount Albert sees utter hypocrisy in the United States' stance on Israel fighting in Gaza the Palestinians, whose land it was, until forcibly displaced from their ancestral property claims. The United States wants ceasefire, but simultaneously supplies arms to Israel. You find that rather unusual, Myrie?
Well, it's the absolute depths of hypocrisy. And the absolutely tragic thing is the United States could stop this absolute apocalypse of violence if they chose to do so. A phone call from Joe Biden and an immediate cessation of all supplies of military equipment would mean the end of this conflict. It would mean the end of small children being massacred on a daily basis. What's happening in Gaza is just so atrocious. It's just really, really hard to get your head around the numbers, of course. And then you read numbers like the amount of bombs that have been dropped on Gaza, this little tiny place. In this short period of time, it's more than all the bombs dropped on Dresden, London and Hamburg during the Second World War. It's just mind-boggling, you know? And night after night, we watch it on our television screens, or in my case, I watch it on Al Jazeera, and it's heartbreaking, just heartbreaking.
Well, I was sitting sitting outside one of the cafes here in Hamilton with a family friend yesterday, and we were watching the latest protest outside the Hamilton City Council buildings.
Yes,
but
yes.
It's not only Joe Biden, it's I see the stuff coming out from Marjorie Taylor Greene saying we should end all the military equipment going to Israel. Do you follow what Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying?
Well, yes, of course. In terms of our trade with Israel, we should, you know, certainly there's been a call for a boycott, divestment and sanctions for years. And, you know, I normally am not terribly much in favour of ending diplomatic ties, but this is one case, I think, where we just should send the Israeli ambassador home. But, you know, there's just so many steps. You can just sort of make a long list, really, of things that our government could easily do. It could easily join the South Africans and the many other nations who are taking Israel to the International Court of Justice. We could support what's happening at the International Criminal Court. We could support what the UN has declared about Israel being on the list of nations who abuse children. You know, it's on the blacklist of nations who are responsible for grievous crimes against children.
Yep.
There's endless steps that we could take if we were truly serious. But no, we just simply sort of do follow the leader and Mao's concern, but we don't add to that any serious action.
Well, we don't see anything coming out of the International Court at The Hague. They're very silent at the moment.
I don't think that process ever goes rapidly, of course. I mean, the other thing that would make a difference is supporting the call for Palestine to be a fully fledged state at the United Nations. That's some step that was taken recently by Spain, Norway and Ireland and attracted a bit of controversy. But in fact, when you look at that situation, the majority of the world's nations already support that. There's over 140 of them. You know, we're really out on a limb in the weak stand that we take on what's happening in Gaza, really out on a limb if you look at it in terms of, you know, the global community.
Where is our voice?
One day this will come, you know, I believe one day this will come back to haunt us. We will be regarded as a pariah nation for having supported
this
atrocity.
I do see the members of the Green Party, like Chloe Swarbrick and others, they they are calling for New Zealand to do more. Do you follow line too?
Absolutely, yes. I do, send home the Israeli ambassador, support the call for Palestine to be a state, fully fledged state at the United Nations, stop all trade both ways with Israel. There's just an endless list of things we could do if we were serious.
Do you also follow Winston Peters' plans for a two-state democracy?
Oh, yes. Well, my feeling goes very strongly that what's required is for the Palestinians to be given their right to self-determination. Okay, that's the right, really, that they've been deprived of. They've never had the chance to govern themselves. It's always been manipulated and determined by Israel and the Western powers. If they had a fair democratic chance to determine their own future, then I think it would be up to them how they work that out. You read all sorts of articles that propose all kinds of different futures, but it's not for you and I to determine that. It's for them, isn't it? They're the people who've been deprived of that right. They should be granted it.
It's time that Israel joined the list of nations violating children's rights, very basics of life, water,
food. It has already joined that list.
It has.
Yes. Well, sometimes you can't think of what's happening in Gaza in terms of numbers because they just sort of go, you get mind-boggled by it all. But, one of the saddest stories is the story of a little girl whose name was Hind, and she was only six. And she was fleeing with her family in a car, hoping to find safety. And an Israeli tank opened fire on the car where she was with her whole family. And only she and her sister survived the attack. Her sister was a little bit older. She was old enough to ring the emergency services and call for help. Emergency services called back, but by this time the older sister was dead. So Hind, a six-year-old, answers the phone. And there's a conversation that's been recorded, and you can find it on the internet, where the operator in the call centre tries to comfort her and reassure her that help will be coming. It's delayed and delayed, but in the end, two paramedics are on the scene with an ambulance coming to her aid. And Israel kills the paramedics and blows up the ambulance. And that is the end of that story.
That is so sad. But, of course, it's election year in America, and convicted felon, I have to call him that, everybody does, Donald Trump, convicted felon. I've seen some of his stuff that when he gets into power, as well as becoming a dictator for one day, he has plans to stop this conflict. How do you know what Donald Trump will do to stop this Israeli Palestinian conflict?
I don't think we can afford to wait till then, even if we could, know what he would do, which we don't, of course.
it's just the weirdness at the moment in American politics.
Yes, it's a strange place. It's a strange place.
Anyway,
People will be looking again at what U.S. imperialism really is all about because of what's happening in Gaza and Palestine.
Let's go back to your brother, Keith. The people in Hamilton listening to this will be wanting to know when the funeral is, or has that already been planned? So some of them might want to travel up.
We're having a funeral service for him at 2 p.m.
Yep.
And it will be in the Mount Eden War Memorial Hall. On Dominion Road, just opposite Potter's Park.
Yes.
What did I say? Did I say 1 p.m.? I meant to say 1 p.m.
Yeah,
1 p.m.
Well,
Tuesday. Yeah.
They can check out the funeral notices in the New Zealand Herald anyway.
It's in the New Zealand Herald.
But again, our commiserations to your family, because he, like you, were, you'd have to say you were both protesters.
Yes, his activism is the thing we plan to feature.
I looked at that picture in the paper of him walking, semi-naked down that street after a bed. So that's his legacy.
Well, To be honest with you, he's a shy person, and he was pretty uncomfortable about that.
Oh, well. Hey, Marie, thanks.
He did it because he said he was a man of his word. I mean, that was the point of it, really. I mean, he must have regretted, looking back on it, that he didn't say, if Rodney Hyde wins the election, I'll eat my hat.
Well, that's another day to talk about Rodney Hyde. And hey, Marie, thank you very much, and commiserations to your family.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. There we are. Yes, Keith Locke's sister, Marie Ledbetter, here at Free FM 89.0. FM 89.0, independent community media, cosmopolitan news and views, the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra, Richard Strauss's Also Zbuk Zarathustra. Our next guest, Mel.
Stan Vickery. Well, in his 90s now. Stan, you've lived around since the Great Depression days. You were born in the middle of it, after all. Your folk came over from Britain, joining the migration, seeking greener pastures. So here you've spent the rest of your life. And Stan, there's been a lot of visitors around your haunt, around Marukopa. There's interest in finding a family because it's gone a long time since they were last seen in public. We're talking of the family Phillips and those members of it who apparently went into the woods. Do you think that's where it ends, Dan?
Well, I don't know, but where they getting the tucker?
Yeah, it takes a lot to feed a family, and most of the family is, well, missing. Are you concerned for their safety?
Yeah.
And what about all these outsiders, news reporters among them, radio hosts, no doubt, people who have come to Marukopa looking? Are they going to have any luck?
No.
So this has never happened, has it, around Marukopa before?
No.
It's a new one.
It's happened before.
Yes. Are you thinking that it's just going to solve itself in time, or do you think that the police are more serious now because they're offering big...
They're wasting their time out here. They've been out here for just about 2 weeks.
Do you think somebody's hiding the family?
Well, it looks like it.
Goodness, I wouldn't like to face the world after such concern about the children. The kiddies need to be with other children, don't they?
Yeah.
They're growing up. It's affecting their lives.
Yeah.
Did you see the appeal made by the mother of the children on...
They reckon that he's got custody of the kids.
Maybe things have changed along the line.
Because it might have now, yeah.
We can't go further with that because this is a family court, Matt, and we're not allowed to talk about things out of the family court. So, but there were allegations that the mother of the children was a pee addict. Did you read that story?
Yeah.
So do you think one answer to this is to trust that the children are all right, that they don't need any of them?
Yeah, I think they'd be all right, I think.
Mm-hmm. But living in the bush, you've done that?
No, they're not in the bush, they're in a bloody house.
Uh-huh, okay. But you don't know where it is?
It's cold in the bush.
Okay. Stan, if you knew something, would you have shared it with the police if you thought it would help find them?
No.
You're inclined to keep to yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've stayed so long around Marukopa that it must be a good place that you've settled there.
Yeah.
I hear that you go out fishing?
Not now. I used to, but not now.
Okay.
Just a bit old in the tooth.
Yes. Well, are you expecting any birthdays soon?
Yeah.
You were born...
1930.
Right. That puts you among the older citizens of this world of ours.
About 94.
Yes. And has it been so far in your life a good life, Stan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got lots of friends.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Stan, we hope that you can still get out and about. And it'll be easier when the winter has passed. You look forward to spring. What happens then?
Yeah.
Okay, Stan.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for putting your interest into what's happening. We will watch and wait in the next few weeks.
And we wish you a long life, Sam. A lot more to go.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yes. Interesting guy, 94. And this is, quite an interesting case. It's it reminds me of Stanley Graham on the West Coast. But the police caught up with him and they, of course, it was a fatal shooting. But we hope it doesn't happen to this one. We hope everybody and justice for all. 23 minutes past one. These are the Avon, seven little girls sitting in the back seat.
Seven little girls sitting in the back seat, hugging and a-kissing with Fred. I said, why don't one of you come up and sit beside me? And this is what the seven girls said.
All together now, one, two, three. Keep your mind on your driver, keep your hands on the wheel, and keep your snoopy eyes on the road ahead. We're having fun, sitting in the back seat, kissing and a-hugging with Fred. Dee-doo-dee-dum-dum, dee-doo-dee-dum-dum.
Town, drove through the country, showed them how a motor could go. I said, how do you like my triple carburetor? And then they whispered low.
All together now, one, two, three. Keep your mind on your driver, keep your hands on the wheel, and keep your snoopy eyes on the road ahead. We're having fun, sitting in the back seat, kissing and a-hugging with Fred.
Seven little girls sitting in the back seat, everyone in love with Fred. I said, you don't need me, I'll get off at my house. And this is what the seven girls said.
All together now, one, two, three. Keep your mind on your driver, keep your hands on the wheel, and keep your snoopy eyes on the road ahead. We're having fun, sitting in the back seat, kissing and a-hugging with Fred.
Kissing and a-hugging with Fred.
Oh, Freddy.
Kissing and a-hugging with Fred.
Come on.
Kissing and a-hugging with Fred.
Gee.
Kissing and a-hugging with Fred.
Yeah,
FM 89.0. Why am I playing the typewriter? Well, our next guest has an interest in trains and also typewriters. Good afternoon, JD.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm good.
You've got an interest in typewriters.
Yes, I do. They're pretty interesting, aren't they?
You're interested in the history of places too, yep. Especially if they're on the railway line.
Yes, that's right.
One's attracting attention because it's gone a long time since it began.
Oh, yes, definitely. And that is Otorohanga Railway Station.
Tell us more.
And a while back, it marked its official 100th birthday celebration, which is a very special occasion. There was lots of stalls, and I believe there was a few food markets, and a lot of good friends were down there, and I recognised a lot of people. It was a very well-put-together event.
So you partook of the food?
Yes. I'm just trying to think now. We did go to some of the stores that didn't have food, but we definitely did go to Macca's, and that was pretty good.
Yeah. And what did you eat?
I think it was a cheeseburger and some water.
Oh, yeah. Very unhealthy.
Oh, well. Well, yeah. I do lots of running around anyways, looking at,
yeah. So. Anyway, so you're in Otorohanga. What else did you find in Otorohanga?
I did go up to see one of my friends who has a little good collection up just out of Otorohanga. And his name's Keith, and we made a few deals, we'll say, and I got myself a trackside telephone. This is my second one, so I'm pretty happy with that. But no, overall, Otorohanga, the 100th birthday event was very, very well put together. Very good. Very good, I will say.
Part of the fascination for you is that you've taken the trouble to talk especially to the old railway men. You read a lot in the subject, so that when a meaningless part of equipment comes to someone's notice, they're likely to throw it away.
Yes.
You might take a lot of time and trouble polishing it because you know exactly how it worked, where it fitted in, how it enabled the communications to go unimpeded.
Yes, I believe saving our heritage is very important. And like the railway station, yes, everything all comes together and makes something as a whole.
Have you got room in your house for all this gear that you're saving?
I'm running out, so that might be a problem. So they'll be everywhere now. There's telephones and whatnot everywhere.
And you have a typewriter?
No, but I might acquire one eventually. Maybe a railway typewriter.
Oh, there'd be probably plenty of them around somewhere.
And not very many of the ribbons, though, that go with them.
Oh, yeah, they're hard to find, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, it's coming towards Matariki, and that's a time when traditionally some of the voluntary associations that run trains aim to fit in a few trips.
Oh, yes. Glenbrook are putting on a special event on the 28th of June. It's the Matariki event, and they'll be running a few excursions up and down the Glenbrook line. It's $12 for a ticket in person online if you pay online, or $15 in person if you actually go there and get a ticket. And for a family, which is two adults and two children, it is $40 online and $60 in person. So those are the fares, and they'll start running at 12:30, as I take it, and the last train will be roughly about 9.
And you'll be there yourself?
Yes, I will be there.
And of course, and Hamilton here, the library will be closed on Matariki Day, so you can't go into the library look at books. So yeah, so anyway, everybody will be celebrating Matariki next weekend.
Mm, yes.
And Jaidi among them.
Yes, that'll be right, yep.
Okay.
Where will you go?
Glenbrook.
Good. Yeah. And I hope you take plenty of photos so that people can see it on your webpage, your Facebook page.
I definitely will. There will be multiple photos going up for everyone to see.
And I hope you do get – someone does give you a typewriter, one of those old railway typewriters to go alongside the old railway cup.
Hopefully.
And what's your website?
It's on Facebook. It's Jaidi Train Spotter Photographs, and that's where all my photos and videos go.
Okay, let's go back to the typewriter. Let's play this tune in full for you.
Thank you.
FM 89.0, Leroy Anderson, and that is the typewriter, yes. It is a person playing the typewriter. It is just on 28 away from 2. An old friend has just arrived in the studio. Good afternoon, Suman. How are you? Talking about yoga.
What International Yoga Day offers today are examples of breath work, of yoga exercises suitable for schools, workplace or community groups. As long as we keep breathing, they say, we're living beings. And Suman Kapoor is here to help us know what's happening today and a little bit about her experience of Yoga Day.
Hello, everyone. I'm Suman Kapoor, and we have been organizing International Day of Yoga from past 10 years. And in 2014, when UN declared 21st of June as International Day of Yoga, we decided to celebrate it. And for our encouragement, it was very nice of our High Commission from Wellington that they organized a very nice video clipping also from our Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Modi's speech. And from there, we started. This Yoga Day, we have been celebrating every year, not exactly on 21st, but sometimes it's a day here and there looking into people's availability. More and more people can take advantage of that. You see, yoga is not just bending or twisting or doing some exercise physically only. Many people, many of my friends over here say, oh, I can't do yoga. And you see, it is not me who can do anything of that. So they need a bit of advice that this yoga has much more than that. It is for your mental wellness also. It's not physical only. So we have this day a lot of activities lined up every year with the differentiation. So we started with Hamilton City Council Reception Lounge 10 years back. And now today again we are back to Hamilton City Council Reception Lounge. So celebrating from 4 o'clock today only. This is going to be at One Garden Place side of the door. And time is from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., which is followed by dinner. Everyone welcome. And we encourage people to be vegetarian. It's not that it is a compulsion, but we prefer. Then on this day, many organizations come together, and all over New Zealand, we are celebrating it, not only in Hamilton, but Auckland, Wellington, Rotorua, everywhere people have been doing. You will hear even on the television also, it is covered that this is a day of yoga. So Art of Living is an organization by our Shri Guruji. Gurudev said that he gave lots of advice and lots of teachings on art of living, basically. Art of breathing is also included in on this day. So it's something always dealing with all the age groups. It's not that only young and healthy people can do it. It is for children also, for their super brain, for their competitive. There are so many influence group these days for teenagers. And then sometimes they get confused what to do. So in nutshell, it's a comprehensive package. So this all these 10 years, we have been various people coming. And once they come and have an experience, it's not only for one day what we do, but then slowly they get into the practice of doing it in their day-to-day life. So this year we have the theme Yoga for Self and for Communities. So all communities are very welcome. And we are actually inviting lots of people, those who are new to Hamilton. They want to mix and mingle and know about lots of other things also. So we will open door at 3 p.m., but the yoga starts at 4. And we request people to bring their yoga mat, water bottle, etc.
Yep.
However, if someone fails, we will provide it from our other people, those who brought more numbers with them. Yep. And then we are comfortable clothing. This is our a flyer which we circulated on social media also, and very colorful because it's after all 10 years. So some of the people who have been regularly doing yoga, we try to encourage them with a bit of a small award, and talks will be there from Art of Living teacher,
yeah.
Mrs. Rashmi Bhatia, who has come from Oakland, and she's a guru, and also Neha Bhatia, and also one more, Poonam Ji is here today. We have separate session for children. Some women wanted to be, you know, separate than men, so we are trying to organize that also, so that they can remain separate and they do their exercises.
You'll have to talk Jaideen going along.
We understand that the postures carry names describing the yoga position. They're in another language than ours, not English, but Sanskrit. How has that come to be?
Actually, the postures, in our ancient books also,
yeah,
they have been narrated. They have been, to me, it looks scientifically certified actions which help your bones, your veins, your muscles. So these postures, if you stand, there is something which narrate, like Matsyasana, like your Urdhvasana, all that. So without going to the name, people try to, you know, just translate it to their easier words to remember.
Of course, Sanskrit is a biblical term, so it comes from the Bible. So So there's, of course, there's the famous butterfly move. That's one of the other, that's one of the other famous moves in yoga.
Yes, 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 yes.
Reading the background of one, a teacher of yoga is called
Guru, yoga guru. Yeah.
One guru has written that the practice of yoga is to hopefully achieve a relaxed and comfortable body, because when the body is strong, comfortable, and steady, the breath slows down and the mind becomes calm. Have you experienced
very
that?
True. Yes, yes. It is a fact. As I said earlier, that it is a combination of your breathing, your movements, your state of mind. Keep it calm. And how to keep it calm in all situations is taught by our gurus, is taught by our teacher in Art of Living also. That's what we are going to talk today.
So it comes with your high recommendation, Suman Kapoor.
Absolutely, absolutely. Recently, I attended one course or a class session about mental wellness, and that was Afro Connect, my friend's group. So they invited me, and when I went, and to my surprise, they were narrating about yoga and other things. I said, why don't you people come and just have an experience, just feel what it is. So like you said, it's good to feel first.
So our chance for all of us is today. It's free.
Yes.
It's free.
Yeah, it's free. Oh, yes, definitely. Free admission and free dinner. After that, we will distribute some fruits also. Thank you, Veggie King.
Yep.
They said that every year we have been doing the same.
coming from the cold this Sunday afternoon.
Just for the joy of an insight.
Insight, yes.
A culture that developed this, the answer to all our modern ills, it seems to be.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that all countries are celebrating this, all cultures are celebrating. It's not associated with any particular religion. We associated with your way of life, the real action we should take in today's world. So, I mean, feel free. Everyone is welcome. And we have very talented teachers as well.
Thank you, Suman Kapoor.
Thank you for coming.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, Mel. Thank you, Bruce. It's a pleasure. And this is our 10th year. Hey, hey, we are celebrating. With you people's support, it's all been happening. So please, everyone, welcome. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. From the Piergan Suite, here is in the Hall of the Mountain King by Grieg.
Thank you.
Philip Sousa's Stars and Stripes Forever, Mel.
Yes. Now, it's a state with prairies, extensive coastal lakes, bayous and swamps. Folk living there like catching shrimps, oysters and crabs. Near rivers grow oak, gum, hickory and elm trees. By tradition, the marshes attracted trappers for pelts and furs of otters, mink, beaver and muskrats. The farmers grow cotton, rice, corn and sugarcane. In 1682, the explorer La Salle claimed the territory for the French King Louis XIV. Well, he doesn't last, but his name does. It means Land of Louis. Now, folk there have come up with an idea challenging the very foundations of the United States Constitution. Our commentator on world events is Gary Schofield of Hamilton.
Good to talk to both of you. And isn't it remarkable that only last week, when we're all talking about the First Amendment, that we happen to be prophetic and give the news to people before it actually happens. But yes, the state of Louisiana, and also the state of Texas, by the way, has challenged the idea of the First Amendment, which we stated that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. An enlightened idea, because that means that the state keeps out of religion and there isn't a dominant religion that the United States would impose on anybody. So having the Ten Commandments, as innocuous as that is, and of course we all live by these principles as much as we can, it is a challenge to that amendment. And Donald Trump has also stepped into that debate, that he affirms that he'd like to have the Ten Commandments in the schools, and it's actually, the plan is to have it compulsory according to the two states, Louisiana and Texas. But just on that thought, and I like to leave you each week with something to think about for the entire week. And this time, it is about time, space, destiny, the future, and the past. And this is scientific fact that you can think on. So we on planet Earth are traveling through space-time and slowed by gravity. Gravity slows down time. This is, Einstein came up with this 100 years ago. So time for us, we're traveling through time at a different rate than if we were on Jupiter. We would be going through time slower. And in space, we would be going faster through time than we are now. And this is a real problem in our world of communications and your satellites that are going out to the world, and we bounce them off satellites and we have to GPS have everything straight. But guess what? The satellite is not where it's supposed to be. It is some 20 kilometers further ahead because it travels faster in space. Yeah. Which means that amazingly, the now for the satellite is in the future. Our now is different to what we would be on Jupiter, and all points in space with different gravities have a different now, which means that our future to the satellite is in its past. So here is the thing to think about all week. So our future, therefore, is set. It has already happened from the point of view of other points in space that are ahead of us in time.
I'm going to have to
digress, because there's always one thing we have to think about for the week. So yes, back to the amendments and those wonderful states.
I'll have to unscramble my thinking first.
Yeah, I'll have to relook at the Ten Commandments or watch Charlton Heston.
That too. Yes.
And of course, we're running out of time. But next week, we're going to talk about Ted Cruz and his performance when all these people judiciary coming to be interviewed by the Congress and and also John Kennedy. We're going to talk about those two gentlemen in the next coming weeks.
Well, that's good. I look forward to that conversation. Also, in the spirit of Kennedy and in the spirit of states suing, so we have Kansas State and the state of Texas is suing Pfizer. So not for vaccine injury or anything other things, because I believe there's some agreement that they're protected, but for false advertising.
Yep.
So this advertising of safe and effective is challenged, and they also allege that there was a concealment of data, and some of that data in some of their trials allegedly says that 50% of women in that trial or subjects in that trial had adverse reactions, and 10% had miscarriage.
Anyway.
So these are quite extraordinary claims and extraordinary events when the state sues a company.
We'll talk about more of that next week. We've got to go. It's 8 minutes to two. Got a couple more guests to come along.
Good indeed.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you. Our American New Zealand correspondent. And right now, good afternoon, Dwayne. How are you?
Yeah, good afternoon.
How's it going?
Very good, very good.
Did you say earlier when we were talking to you how Tapu lost?
Yes.
Oh.
Second time in a row, oh, how Tapu. Come on, guys, you know. I thought you'd be in the top, you know, the top of the ladder, but sorry, you guys are not in the top of the ladder.
Well, we won't talk about the Chiefs.
I think the Blues must have got the referees paid big money.
Anyway,
for,
so you know. who were the other big winners?
Okay, Hamilton Old Boys 32, Otrahonga 32. Good game for that one. Hamilton yep. Maris 33 over Hautepu 17. There was no game with University. They had a bye. Fraser Tech, well done. 36-28 over Melville. And you see the old United Manamata yep. defeated Morrinsville Sports. But hey, you know. And then when you said now Te Aumiri had a bye, so next week's the another one for the top team. So, you know, hope come on Hautepu, you know, you can do better than, you know, two losses. But yeah, so next week's game and so hopefully we can get more results.
Thank you, Dwayne.
To my story about a man named Ted. Poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. All that is black gold, Texas tea.
And why am I playing this? Because I heard this week that the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band, of which my colleague Paul Trenworth is a member from here at 3FM, the band has disbanded. And it's goodbye to a band that, of course, they put bluegrass on the map. And, of course, this song put bluegrass on the map with Flat and Scruggs and the Ballad of Jed Clampett. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Trevor's talk.
Hello, everyone. I saw four cyclists this week, and they're all on the footpath, and so nothing unusual there. I was in Frankton the other day, crossing the Massey Bridge. I looked over at the old Hutton's building. Yes. Big sign on the wall. Hamilton City Council rates will have doubled in the next 5 years. Sign... Stop the council. Sign the petition. I thought that was very interesting. I'm not a lone voice anymore. And how you sign the petition is something I would like to find out.
Well, most petitions these days are signed online.
That's
so
right, yeah.
Hey, talk about the Hutton's building. We must think of our colleague, the late Peter Lane, because he worked for Hutton's for a while. In Frankton, and we heard stories of him. I think he was a manager there at Hutton's for a while. So we're thinking of Peter Lane, and we're also thinking of Keith Locke. We heard Marie Ledbetter, his sister, earlier in the day. So what else is happening, Trevor?
Well, the Founders Theatre's on its last legs, if that,
yep.
been demolished. And I thought, well, there's so much debt, it's quite frightening, and the poor ratepayers are the ones that are going to suffer. When my father was county clerk, nowadays that title would be CEO of the county council, was in charge of the finances of it. When he retired in 1964, he had the proud reputation of having the council debt-free. Didn't have a cent. In the 1980s, I was in Whangarei. This is after my father passed away. I met his deputy, who later became CEO of the city of the county council, and he said, he was talking to me about my father when he was in the council and how he left it debt-free. And he said, do you know what he said? It's now millions of dollars in debt. What is it with councils, whether it be county or city, that they can't budget? I mean, if I was in charge of the purse strings of the council, A, I would have never had the V8s. B, I would never built a new theatre. And three, I would never coloured build streets, I mean, and put pot plants and blocking parking and obstructing emergency vehicles like on Ross River Street.
Yeah, just think, Nobby Clark and Invercargill are trying to get rid of him because he did something at an event, got drunk, and he and they're trying to get rid of him. How precious are we getting?
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder.
Hey, thank you, Trevor. And just before we do go, Mel, the French Film Festival continues.
It does. And the screenings today are interesting in their variety. We have at 3:15 the film Sidonie in Japan. And by all accounts, it's very perceptive. It's a story of a widow, and she has occasion to go to Japan, I think, to promote a new translation of her debut novel. And the majority of her time is spent in Japan with her publisher, to whom she finds herself increasingly drawn, despite still grieving for her husband. Yep. So, interesting themes. And later today, we have A Difficult Year, which is a comedy, at 5:15 at the Lido Cinema. And it's one that rests upon these two chaps who make a lot of fun wherever they go.
Well, I went to the movies this week. Wasn't the French Film Festival. It was The Minions 3 with Steve Carell. Yeah, good movie. Take the kids along. It's got Stephen Colbert as one of the voices.
To my story about a man named Ted. Poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, black gold, Texas tea.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.